This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
Happy Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Anaheim Calling, the podcast. My name is JC McDonough, and I'm joined by CJ Woodling on my left, Jake Rudolph on my right, after a Ducks shootout loss against the Kings here. The tank is still alive, at least a little bit. A couple of games going in the Ducks' favors in terms of the tank across the league, and we can touch on that in a little bit. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome. We've got some fun stuff going on tonight. Last weekend, I believe it was, the last time you and Felix were drinking.
Last Friday.
Yeah, last Friday. We were doing bits for shots, and while CJ and I are only going to have one because we have to drive home.
We're responsible. Yeah. Okay. We're responsible.
I'm in my home.
You guys want to make...
He can do that. His bedroom's literally right there.
If you guys want to make Jake suffer, feel free. Every 1,000 bits is going to be a shot, and the first 1,000 will be all of us. After that, it's just going to be Jake. Also, there's off-screen, sort of. There's a huge stack of, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah.
There's
10 boxes of 10 chicken
McNuggets.
100 McNuggets. And, oh, by the way, the shot that we're going to be taking, and please do not judge us, even though we already know you already do, we are going full white girl and going fireball. Ugh. So, deal with it. It's happening.
Great.
But I will be...
Oh, god damn it. It's time for a shot.
I will be suffering through a lot of McNuggets tonight for Patreon.
So we had our watch party tonight at, it was actually, now I can actually say it. It was at Legend Sports Bar in Long Beach. It was a smashing success. It was a lot of fun. We're going to do more there, not only for patrons. It's going to be a very, very good time always. But Matt, who is there, diehard fan 24, I believe is his handle.
Diehard 24 fan 24.
Yep.
Yeah, diehard fan.
Get it right.
Diehard 24 fan 24 just gave us 1,000 bits. So, boys.
Shot time.
It's time. So, pour in the shots now.
Shot time. Huge thank you, of course, to all the patrons for all their support throughout the season. Everybody who has contributed, we appreciate it.
Felix, sadly, is not here. He is actually kind of busy tonight. He has a wedding that he is at. So, we'll give him crap tomorrow morning when he's playing in our game. And is probably hungover in the process. But he will be at the next one.
He's drinking with us in spirit. You got the open bar at the wedding. We had our watch party with drinking and on the pod here. It'll be great. He's here in spirit.
But, all right.
Thank
Cheers.
You to everybody who came out tonight.
Cheers,
guys. Cheers.
Thank
to
you,
all
everybody.
Of you.
Salud, guys.
This is going to hurt. Also, along those lines.
So I've got Pedialyte, too.
For anyone listening, if there's any issues audio-wise, please let us know. This is the first time we're doing any of this kind of in the same room, all of us sitting on the same couch. So it's kind of a work in progress. So please let us know. So let's, you want to jump into the recap, JC? You want to have some chicken McNuggets?
I think we need to get started on them before they start getting
I'm going to hit a nug.
For those of you watching this for the first time or watching this recently.
It was a while back.
But it was basically JC was on the show with me. And, pretty much, JC guaranteed that if we hit the amount that we, had put, $200 as our stretch goal for a watch party, which we did today, he would eat as many McNuggets as possible. So,
I hope George is watching. George better be fucking watching.
In honor of that, we've ordered 100 McNuggets tonight, so.
And we're gonna help JC because we are not about leaving a guy to be out on his own. We're here to teamwork.
We're going to eat the McNuggets when he's done.
I'm ready to eat some McNuggets now.
Why?
Because I want McNuggets.
No, you gotta wait.
Because I'm a little tipsy right now, and I want some food.
Fine.
Thank you. Here, I will help you. You have to do most of them. I'll take like
one. Okay. Someone keep track of how many nuggets I eat. I'm the only one that matters with how many, so I've got
this
one.
This is true. This
you guys
true.
Can need to
so,
track my nuggets.
For anyone chiming in right now, this is going to be a very, very...
dumb.
Very dumb, very kind of shit show of an episode. So, should be a fun time. So, JC, want to start your recap? You got to keep track of how many McNuggets you're eating.
I told them to.
We got. So
I've got enough.
One right now, right?
I've got one.
Okay,
yeah.
He's on one.
Lewis, it's on you.
Yeah, let's make Lewis do it. Okay, we'll get into the recap. So, Ducks are in LA. This is the end of the series, or do they have one more?
They have one more.
They've got one more, but I think with the loss tonight, they do, in fact, lose the season series, sadly. No real surprise there. Things started off not really in the Ducks' favor. They were getting outshot quite a bit in about the first 5 minutes. But Ducks did draw first blood. I'm trying to work with the video here because it was hard to track everything and drink and say hi to everybody and watch the game. But the Ducks do draw first blood less than 4 minutes in. Point shot from Cam Fowler. Kind of threads its way through, gets to the top corner, pass quick, and Ducks take an early lead despite kind of play going against them to kick off the game.
The watch party was a bit conflicted during this goal because everyone, as you can imagine...
nobody knew, let's be clear, nobody knew the entire game whether we were cheering for the Ducks to win or for them to lose and cheer for the tank. Like, it was mixed all night.
It was very mixed, and it's interesting because it was all Ducks fans there sitting together. And we all cheer when they score, and then we're like, oh, I kind of feel bad about this. And then when the Kings score, we all get kind of happy, and then we're all like, oh, I kind of feel bad about this.
Well, specifically with that first goal, it was hilarious because it was pretty much like an even divide. You had half the people, like, start cheering, and then the other half just did this loud boo! It was fantastic. I think we got a little more united as the night went along, but there was definitely some confliction going on.
Yeah, Team Tank took a really strong hold on the night.
They did.
It really did.
I mean, we had literally the tank chant going with 20-plus people upstairs in Legends.
Yeah, for those of you who saw, I tweeted this out. I took a video and posted it on the Anaheim Calling official Twitter account where we basically started. I just actually intended it just to say, like, hey, here's everybody. We're having a great time.
Yeah, that was my fault.
And Jake turned it into a tank chant. So you know where we stand on that.
It's my fault.
Yeah, I mean, oddly enough, like, I told Jake when I got there that I felt kind of conflicted because I am totally on Team Tank, but at the same time, I was like, you know, I drove up to Long Beach, I'm here with all the patrons and you guys, and, like, all my instincts say, like, I want them to score, I want them to win, I want things to go well to make that fun, but I'm happy to say that despite the loss, and obviously people who were there can speak to this more as well. Like, I had a great time. I know you guys did, and I hope everybody else did. So I think regardless of what happened, it was definitely an entertaining night.
And I think that I just want to call out as well that we had a couple people drive out from very far away, too. We had people from Temecula, from Woodland Hills.
Russell was from Temecula. We had Matt from Woodland Hills, diehard 24 fan, 24. Duncan, Ginge Gantor, I believe. I probably got that wrong. Sorry, Duncan.
Somebody, I believe, from... It may have been Duncan. It may have been Duncan. Somebody, I believe, from Apple Valley. It was just...
Justin from right down the street.
It was unbelievable, the support that we had, and that people were willing to drive so far out to come join us. So I think that's, like, really humbling for us that that you guys are willing to come out and have that kind of support for the things that we do, and we hope we don't let you down here. So
also, Felix, you're a coward.
Yes, Felix, you're a coward, but also I feel like we're getting very mushy here because we've had, you know, that point where you have too much to drink and you start getting mushy. So before we start texting all our exes, we should probably move on.
Back to the recap. Anaheim's lead does not last very long. Less than 90 seconds later, actually, the Kings are able to tie it up. A point shot from, I believe, Dustin Brown finds its way to the front of the net, and Kyle Clifford is firmly planted in front of Ryan Miller. Gets a good deflection in front, deflects it into the top corner of the net. It seemed like, I believe, Corbini and Holzer kind of lost Kyle Clifford there, left him free in front of the net, deflects in, and that's a power play goal for the Kings and a tie game just past the the 5 minute mark.
It really seems like Kyle Clifford is starting to turn into one of those duck killers in the vein of Leon Draisaitl, in the vein of Anthony Duclair. Those players that, for just whatever reason, all their other games, they're just kind of like floating around out there. And then whenever they play the Ducks, they turn it on. And Kyle Clifford this season, man, he's been haunting the Ducks lately.
One box down.
One box of 10 McNuggets down.
Nine
more to go.
I've had three, to be clear.
No guarantees.
I'm hungry.
No guarantees that we're going to finish them all, but we're going to try our damn hardest because we care about you, the listener.
Once again, for those of you just joining in, this is a drinking episode. 1,000 bits gets me to take a shot. These two, not so much. So
I have just decided that I am still okay to take one more shot.
All right, 1,000 bits gets CJ a shot and me a shot.
Yes.
So, there you go, people.
One more for me. Add to it. JC's
I'm
already,
suffering with nuggets. So I got
he's
enough
too
on
much.
Plate.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Also, welcome Deese18, brand new viewer. Just put it in the Twitch chat. So welcome
Deese.
This is not our normal episode, by the way. This is a train wreck.
If you're gonna expect this episode for the rest of the other Anaheim Calling episodes, you're gonna be severely disappointed. So I just want to make sure that you know this is where it peaks.
Yeah, and a bit.
This is
a bit is Twitch currency
of our content.
So, all right, moving on. Keep going, JC.
Let's go.
Keep doing your thing.
We believe in you.
Oh my gosh, I'm at four nuggets. I'm just trying to survive right now. The rest of the period kind of, you know, stayed scoreless. They go into the end of the first period tied 1-1, but the Kings kind of continue to control the pace of play. I believe at the end of the period, shots were 11-7 in favor of the Kings. So Anaheim started to pick it up a little bit, having scored on their first shot on goal. 4 minutes into the game. And
in typical Randy Carlyle fashion.
Jeez. I definitely will not miss, hopefully next year, I will not miss looking at the scoreboard, you know, 5-10 minutes into a game and going, oh, hey, like, we just got our first shot on goal. How many does the other team have? 10. I will not miss that. I cannot wait for the day where we can start games. And granted, we haven't necessarily been a team that, like, starts games well historically in the last, like, 5 to 10 years. I know for the majority of my tenure with Anaheim Calling, we have not been a team that starts games necessarily that great, but I just look forward to the day where we can have some shots on goal to start games. Please just build a little momentum. Let's put our, you know, one foot in front of the other.
All right, it's time. We just got 2,000 bits.
Oh my god.
So that's time for two shots for me, one shot for you. Also, I just realized I did not change the game score, so give me 1 minute. Keep going, JC.
This is what you get when you've had enough to drink and you're just sitting here focused on McNuggets.
If someone wants to pour the shots, go for it. Well, I fixed it.
Here, I'll pour the shots.
So, there keep going, JC. Mm. Oh, JC is going for the McNuggets, people. I'm really off.
That was McNugget number 5.
He's making progress.
I'm doing
slow
good.
But steady. Slow but steady.
I'm doing good, but I know it. I know how this works. It's great for a while, and then it really just goes downhill really fast.
Where's the other shot glass?
What was the score?
3-2.
I wanted to make sure. I want
3-2
shootout. This is for all of you out there watching the live stream. So I'm fixing this as we go. I know I'm off mic. Sorry.
This is what you get for these types of podcasts, man. Everything's a shit show. We told you.
All right.
Okay. There we go. I had to document for posterity's sake.
Oh, this is great audio right now, by the way, this silence.
Well, with you sitting all the way over there. Getting into the second period, the Kings continue to kind of carry the play early in the second. Got some good rushes, weren't able to score. Miller looked good tonight.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, Miller looked really, really good tonight. He held up very well, especially considering the Kings kind of seemed to dictate the pace of the game throughout. Anaheim spent a lot more time kind of on their heels. So coming out in the second, they kind of continue to push the pace. Anaheim hung in there, though. You know, they get through the first 15 minutes of period. Haven't given anything up. But then
it was 4-3, by the way.
Yeah.
You guys.
We told you.
4-3.
You knew what you were getting into.
I messed up. Keep going. I messed up. I called it.
No, it's fine. I didn't fact check it, so it's good. I'm an accomplice with this.
Oh, but I love that Alyssa still said Jake. It was 4-3 instead of me.
Yeah, so Alyssa blames Jake, so therefore it was Jake's fault.
Yep.
You have officially been demoted to the least favorite uncle.
Nug number 6.
Nug number 6. I don't even know what I'm on anymore, but I don't care because I'm not keeping count.
But, yes, Ryan Miller was very good. He's been good since coming back from the Ducks from his injury. There's been some talk, and there was actually a really interesting article that came out about him from Eric Stevens. Or no, it was actually Josh Cooper talking about whether or not he would come back next year and kind of a lot of different things that come about it and different things that would go with it and whether he would accept kind of a short-term deal, money and different types of things like that. And it really kind of comes down to whether or not he wants to return to playing hockey. Because as we all have kind of said, like, there's more to this than just hockey. I mean, there's his life going on. And granted,
especially when you get to the age that he's
at. Yes, because he's, what, 38? Am I 38, right?
Yeah. Old as shit.
Yeah,
he's old as shit.
He's 38, and so he's going to be 39 next year. He has a kid. He has a wife. His wife's an actress. I cannot speak great right now. This is a great time.
Keep going, and he hasn't even taken his second.
No.
Either of his shots.
We haven't taken the shot yet. We'll do that in a second.
He has a son, a dog, a lot of different things going on. It's whether or not he really wants to keep playing, and that's kind of what's at play here. Because I could see Ryan Miller really taking a pay cut because the Ducks really need to get him at $1 or $1.5 million to really make it worth it in terms of cap situation wise. And so right now he's at $2 million. I could very easily see him taking $1 to $1.5 million. And that's kind of what they need. And if he's willing to do that, because right now he's made a lot of money. He's had a lot of different situations that happen in his career. And it seems like he's more worried about his family than anything else. And that's what he needs to contemplate. Because it's not the fact, only the fact of being close to his home, being close to his family, being close to his kids, all the different stuff. Because, yes, playing in Southern California is good for him. It's good for him because his wife's down here, all that different type of stuff. But he's still on the road for 41 games a season.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of time away from the family. A lot of times, I mean, I know I've heard different players say they haven't ever been home for their kids' birthdays because of that. And so he needs to weigh whether or not, because I think his kid's, what, 4 or 5, I think is what it said. And so he needs to weigh whether or not that's important. And at the end of the day, whatever his decision he makes, that's the right decision.
Yeah.
Whether it's to play with the Ducks, because right now it's really the Ducks or nothing. Or whether it's to retire. And that's on him. That's on him to figure out what he wants to do. And no matter what he makes, I think us as Ducks fans, he's been really good for this team the last 2 years. And I think that we should, Ducks fans, and I'm not saying anyone would do elsewise, but all Ducks fans should support him, regardless.
I think absolutely you're right. And there's a couple things to keep in mind here. So number one, Ryan Miller was really brought in. One of the main reasons why he ended up coming to the Ducks and why the Bob Murray was so interested in bringing him on is because Bob Murray felt that John Gibson needed a mentor, especially when it came to conditioning, preparing yourself, getting yourself in the right state for mental games. And we all know that John Gibson used to have those injury issues, specifically with the groin, really due to a lot of just lack of conditioning. Ryan Miller has had a great history of remaining healthy, taking care of his body, and he was brought in to kind of tutor Gibson. Well, now, Bob Murray has straight up admitted that that's no longer needed. That tutelage, yeah, it's still great, but it's not a necessary thing anymore. Gibson has learned so much from Ryan Miller, and now his role has kind of changed in that aspect. But number two as well, you know, when you get to be 38, this is a very common thing with players. This is not unique to Ryan Miller. One of the reasons why Scott Niedermeyer has been very, very big on not wanting to coach is because he wanted to spend time with his family. He wanted to spend time with his kids. He missed a lot of his kids' early life, and he was so big on not taking a coaching job, even though it's been rumored that he's been offered several coaching jobs because of that. So you really can't blame Miller for wanting to stay here and wanting to factor that into his next deal, or if he does decide to continue playing hockey.
Yep, agreed, completely. All right, let's take the shot. Oh, there's the second one already poured for me.
Yeah.
I already did. Did you just do it without us?
He did the first one.
Okay. Take yours. I need a second
before we move on, I just want to do this. For those of you who haven't seen this tweet, it's by @_TroyJohnson, an amazing tweet I saw just recently. This was actually from a couple years ago. But it's you. I'm only 35. I have my whole life ahead of me. Sports broadcaster. Here comes the oldest player in the league. He's 32. A miracle.
I feel old.
Oh, I'm terrible. 20.
I'm the old one in this group also.
You are the old one.
Dude, that's what I was saying. That was the fun part of, like, sitting at the table with you and the wife and Russell?
Yes.
Was sitting with us.
Russell's older than
and
me.
And he was talking about... okay, I'm not going to say it on here because I don't know who's watching, but he was just talking about something, and then you and Monica were talking about, you know, being together for 8 years and all this different stuff, and I was just sitting there, I was like, man, you guys are making me feel young. This is kind of nice.
I'm 28. CJ, you're what? You're 26?
26, yeah.
And then JC, you're what? 24. 25. Oh, 24.
I'm 25 in July.
JC is the young one here.
He's the baby. Though he looks like he's 10 years older than us.
Yeah,
he looks like our dad.
Who looks the youngest out of us?
CJ, 100%. CJ. Yeah.
No!
CJ definitely
stand
looks
up.
Late. Twitch chat, wait.
We need to know this. Wait.
Oh, we can't see that.
Yeah, you can't see your face. George says I'm young. Lockdown Late Night says CJ. Let's see.
Damn it. Okay, Varlun, you know what?
Everyone's saying CJ.
CJ right. is
quite, also, oh, although Justin just yeah, says
I need to grow out this facial hair a little more. Yeah.
If I shave my beard, I look the youngest.
By the way, we all need to do a shot right now, all of us together, for Prince, George's cat.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Prince.
Yo, pour me one. I'll do one.
To Prince. This is my last one, though. George, we're thinking of you. We know how much Prince meant to you.
Our good friend George Contreras, Georgie Khan, as you all may know him in the Twitch chat, his cat passed away last night. Really good friend of his. So yes. This is for Prince.
For Prince.
Yeah, dude.
For you, George. That kind of hurt.
Woo!
Wait. That one actually did a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like, Fireball usually isn't that big of a deal, but when you've already been drinking for the night and you're already kind of, like, on the drunk tipsy scale here, Fireball starts to get a little weird. It was worth it. It was worth it for that one.
Where are we in the recap?
So, LA continues to kind of dominate in the middle of the second period. It was a very Anaheim Ducks second period experience there for a while. They're at an 18-8 lead in shots on goal. And kind of a good, not necessarily a rush, but kind of a breakdown in the defensive structure. Gets kind of a 2-on-1 coming down the slot. Pass across the slot to Jeff Carter from Dustin Brown. Sets Carter up for his 12th goal of the season. Gives LA a 2-1 lead. With about just over 6 minutes left in the second period. And it really, at this point, I mean, Anaheim gets the first goal early, but then LA really just kind of dominated the game almost since that goal. And it really just was starting to look like LA might kind of start to run away with this game.
Yeah. Well, there was that one point where it took about almost 10 minutes into the second for the Ducks to even get a shot on goal again. Yeah. And even then, that shot on goal was basically just like a weak little roller from Andy Walensky. So
that I saw a tweet about that everybody was like, that actually counted as a shot on goal
like, are you
from
kidding
like center
me?
Ice.
That was generous. It was definitely one of those kind of classic Ducks things where they just kind of fell asleep behind the wheel, let the other team take control. And honestly, you know, the Kings have been playing worse than the Ducks most of the season. Willie Desjardins have no idea why he's still coaching in the NHL. Like, they fired John Stevens for him, and he's a worse coach than John Stevens.
Interim
like,
head coach, clearly.
Ugh, ridiculous. Like, I it's almost to the point where I almost feel sorry for Kings fans. So, sorry guys if there happens to be any Kings fans watching or listening to this. We have finished box number 2. That's 20 McNuggets down. I don't know.
I bet 7.
JC's on 7. All right.
I've lost track. JC's the only one who needs to keep track.
Jeez.
All right. Keep on going through that recap,
JC. I'm conflicted. I need to eat nugs.
God.
You know, I need...
I'm going to apologize right now to all the pure audio listeners. Video listeners, or video watchers, you're probably enjoying this a whole lot. This is probably maybe a little bit entertaining to watch us suffer.
This is just another reason to watch us on video, either on YouTube or on Twitch.
For audio audio people, I'm sorry.
That was number 8, by the way. George asked in chat.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I have a pretty strong gut lockdown late night, so don't worry.
That's Justin.
Yeah, I have a pretty.
Thank you, Justin, for buying us the shot. Also at the watch party.
Yes. Oh my god,
Justin, you are amazing.
I know you were disappointed in me for not drinking the pickle juice, but
I'm
kind of like sorry, not sorry for that.
Look at him being all manly man and shit.
I enjoyed the pickleback. It was very
good. I was just like,
I did too. I love
just
pickle
like,
juice.
I'm like, can I just drink the whiskey, please? Why do I need this other bullshit?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, this dude was in a frat, so that should probably explain plenty.
Do you mean frat bro?
He's total frat bro.
Yeah, that's totally me. For anybody who's ever met me, I just ooze frat bro. And so, 2-1 lead for the Kings. And as we kind of close out the second period, it looks like they're going to go in with a 2-1 lead. They're up 20-9 in shots on goal, but Ricard Raquel says, fuck that, we're getting a goal. We're going to tie this game up going into the third. And, I mean, I tweeted it out. I said I felt like I needed to go home and take a shower after this filthy goal because Raquel
so nice.
Gets the puck below the goal line, flips it up kind of into the air on his backhand right at the to Quick's right just near the post. So flips it up about a foot or so into the air on the backhand and then bats the puck back into the goal on the forehand to tie things up with less than 2 seconds left in the second period. I mean,
that was a nasty goal.
Oh, just a beautiful move nasty. By Ricky. That was so, so clean.
So nasty. Pretty much. I mean, I didn't catch it on first watch. Sorry, people. That shot really hurt me. Still until now. That he batted that out of midair. That was insane.
Yeah. Especially, like, it wasn't even like a baseball type goal. It was legitimately like flipping it up to himself and then roofing it. Like, that's like, for those of you, especially for those of you who haven't even played like rec league hockey, lifting the puck up like that and then hitting it out of the air is like hard enough, but to roof it accurately in the moment like that, that's unbelievable. I'm really stoked to see Raquel. I think this play really does a great job at illustrating some of the confidence coming back into Ricard Raquel. He's obviously had a very down and disappointing season, and it really looked like a lot of the confidence had sapped out of his game. I'd say more so than a lot of other players. Most players, I think, especially under Carlisle, had their confidence stripped from them. And seeing Raquel, like, one of the reasons why Raquel is one of my favorite players to watch on the Ducks is because he's one of the few guys who's willing to get super creative, that he can have fun plays, and when he wants to, he can make you want to rise out of your seat. Plays like this, and the ability to, like, even the want to try them, is fantastic, and I love it when Raquel gets creative, and this was a perfect example
Question.
Of that.
Yes. Who's most likely tomorrow to pull that goal?
Tomorrow? Oh, in the podcast classic?
In the podcast classic!
One of the ringers.
Probably
Chad,
one of the ringers.
Like Chad.
Chad might do it. Chad's going to activate.
Chad is our ringer.
Chad's going to activate from the
blue
line and
I was
right
saying
in.
One of the totally offsides ringers, but sure, yeah, Chad.
One of the totally
Chad,
offsides
who hasn't, he said he hasn't skated since the last podcast classic.
By the way, quick question from D's18 said, how long is Raquel under contract for? This kind of goes in, can either of you look it up?
I'll look it up, but I believe it's 3 more years.
I believe
he signed a 5-year deal.
So, yeah. So he's under contract, and it's a very, very good cap hit. Also, it's what, 4 mil?
No, not even that. It's
is it 3.5?
3.789.
Yeah, 3.789.
For how many more years after this?
3 more years.
3 more years after this. So there you go.
Yeah, so Raquel got, you know, we got Raquel on a steal. And keep in mind, a lot of that, too, was the fact that he was a restricted free agent with no arbitration rights. I see a lot of people...
Wait, is it 3 or 4 more years?
3 more years after this season.
Okay.
A lot of people give Bob Murray credit, a lot of credit, and say one of his strengths is signing RFAs to very team-friendly deals. And I think that's, like, true to an extent, but keep in mind, especially when you have no arbitration rights, when you're a restricted free agent, you're pretty much at the mercy of your team, for the most part. And yeah. Raquel did hold out for a little while before he did that, so the odds were completely stacked in Bob's favor. Like, I'm gonna say good on Bob Murray for being able to ink that kind of a contract and getting a lot of surplus value out of that, especially over the next couple of seasons, hopefully with a good coach. I'm just gonna say, let's not pretend like it was some sort of magician's feat for selling him, for giving him that contract.
Agreed.
That's all I'm saying. All right, I'll take that one. Oh, hold on. Boom. Third box, 30 McNuggets down.
I feel like this has turned into both CJ and Jake. Jake selling McNuggets as compared to JC taking them down.
Turns out I'm a little more hungry than I thought I was going to be.
I mean, here's the thing, though. I'm pacing myself for the long haul, because I've had 10.
This is true. And I already had chicken strips tonight.
I'm going for the long haul
at
here,
the watch party, and they weren't even like chicken strips. They were like
it was like
tossed wings.
It was like thin sliced chicken breast.
It was like full blown chicken breast. Like, I'm not complaining. It was great. Good job, Legends. Go to Legends, order the chicken strips. You're welcome. Free advertising.
By the way, Alyssa asked me what sauce I'm dipping in. So I'm dipping in barbecue. What are you guys dipping in?
Barbecue.
Ranch.
And we
because
have,
I'm white as hell.
And we have more barbecue. We have this entire bag filled with barbecue.
Oh, and we have all this ranch, too.
We didn't mention this, but we placed the order through Postmates.
Yes.
And I got a text from Postmates saying, just to be clear, you want 520 pieces of McNuggets, right? And I was like, yes. Yes.
We were walking back from the bar to Jake's house, and he gets the message like, bro, are you sure about this? Oh, man, it was fantastic.
Oh, it was so okay. Good. That's where are it. We on the recap?
We just finished the second period.
Okay.
So it's 2-2. Cool.
Making good progress.
We can. You just want to bang the rest of this out really fast, and then we can get to more highfalutin discussion. So we go into the third period. It's tied 2-2. Again, the Kings have, you know, while it's a tie game, the Kings have controlled the pace of play for the majority. Ducks started out a little better. Silverberg looks dangerous early. They kind of start to get after it, but a power play about halfway through the period for the Kings starts to look a little scary for Anaheim, except for the fact that Anaheim takes the lead shorthanded halfway through the third period on a goal by none other than, according to, it was Justin that said it?
It was Justin.
Ugly from all angles, Carter Rowney.
Lockdown late night. Lockdown late night.
Should I say it should be Carter, ugly from all angles, Rowney.
Yep.
Gets the short, and this was like, he had said this, and not like
it was
a minute
right
or
after.
Two later, Rowney scores this shorthanded goal to give Anaheim a 3-2 lead, and all of a sudden, like, it really just felt like, man, like, is Anaheim really going to just luck into a W right now?
Probably. It felt like it.
Oh, man, and I do have to admit, though, that was a great pass from Devin Shore.
Yeah.
To hit him on the fly. For that, like, and that goes back, we've been talking a lot about Devin Shore lately. Devin Shore has really stepped up and shown that he's got some value to this team. I had mentioned in the last podcast that I was on how Devin Shore, I've always felt, had a little bit better playmaking ability than Andrew Cogliano did, even though, for the most part, the net benefit that you got on the team was about the same. But Devin Shore has really been showing some of this offensive creativity that the Ducks really have been missing in their bottom six for years. So having Devin Shore being able to make these types of plays, to hit Carter Rowney on the fly, to have these great passes, to have a little bit of good hands and finishing ability is fantastic.
By the way, Lockdown Late Night says you're wrong. Says it was Grant that hit the pass to Rowney.
Shit, it was Derek Grant. So, Derek Grant, having that skill in your bottom six.
Got him.
My point about Devin Shore, so see, this is what happens when you drink and you're all over the place. I apologize, everybody. But even then, Elite 1C Derek Grant, that's all I got to say about that. I'll just leave it there.
I'm still going for the McNuggets.
I want more McNuggets.
I'm at 12.
I don't know where I'm at.
I don't know where I'm at either.
Keep going.
So,
all right.
Anaheim takes the lead halfway through the third, and...
Wait, sorry. Lockdown wants me to say, his comment wasn't, it was just Grant instead of Shore, but he's like, although what you are saying about Shore in terms of UCJ is what he agrees with, because he was hugely skeptical at first.
Keep in mind, guys, I was live tweeting the game as well from the Anaheim Calling account. I missed a couple of tweets. I'm sorry.
Impressive.
Because it was extremely busy. So just shows you how much, I think JC mentioned how difficult it was to kind of balance everything with talking to all the patrons and trying to pay attention to the game and all that stuff.
Because I show up and Jake's like, okay, Felix isn't going to be here. You're on the pod. You're doing the recap. And I'm like, as I'm like finishing my first beer, I'm like, fuck.
I told you hours. I told you this morning.
No, you told me Felix was going to. Did you tell me about the recap then?
Yes.
Well, whatever. I forgot. But
Fair.
Back to the recap as we can kind of finish things up here. Later in the third period, under 4 minutes left, Kings starting to get a little bit of a push, trying to tie the game up, and they actually will with just under 4 minutes left. Tyler Toffoli skates down to Miller's right, tucks the puck in behind him on the right post, doesn't get it in, it kind of sails over to the left post, but Carl Grundstrom sitting right there, able to dump in the puck for an easy goal there to tie it up at 3 with less than 4 minutes to go. And we would go to overtime, which was actually a little eventful. We had a couple of good chances. I think Terry Fowler-Henrique was out at one point. They looked fairly good. Fowler had a good chance. Silverberg had a good chance.
Fowler had a good chance too. He got in kind of like on a partial break, yep. You know, running in. It was awesome.
But outside of a couple of close chances, nothing really to talk about in overtime. And then we go to the shootout and nothing much to talk about there. Troy Terry, though, as Jake literally predicted elite, seconds before.
Wait. Let me preface this. Elite tankening.
Troy Terry, Jake calls it literally seconds before Terry takes his attempt at the shootout. He was the Ducks' first shooter. And he goes 5-hole and beats quick, but it still goes wide. He kind of goes backhand to forehand as he's skating left to right across the goal. And Quick's kind of sprawled out and he sneaks it through 5-hole on Quick, but it kind of just slides a few inches wide of the left post. Elite tankening, Jake says, because he gets the shot through to make himself look sort of good, but doesn't get the goal to help Anaheim, I guess. Andre Kopitar would score on a beautiful Forsberg-esque move in the next attempt for the Kings, and that would be the only goal in the shootout. Raquel would miss, Alex Iafallo, and then Jacob Silverberg as well, and that would mean a 4-3. Not 3-2. Win for the Kings in the shootout, and the tank stays semi-alive for another day.
So, really quick here.
I just got 1,000 bits.
Yeah, DieHard24Fan24 just sent another 1,000 bits, so Jake's got to do another shot of Fireball. Bottoms up. Yeah, buddy.
I'm going for Nug.
JC will go for a Nug. I'll go for another Nug. Thank you so much, DieHard24Fan24.
By the way...
And also, George has one of his famous fun facts here. Don't and look. It's McNuggets related. It's McNuggets
I've related. I've seen it already.
Chicken McNuggets come in 4 shapes.
What shapes, JC?
I don't know. Circle, boot, something else.
Oh, you got it. So they come in ball, bell, boot, and bone, according to George.
It was actually called boot. Fuck me. Dude,
we're earning our like explicit tag right now, by the way.
We really are. You're welcome, Steph.
By the way, have you guys seen Supersize Me?
No.
Yes. You saw how they make the McNuggets? Mm-mm. I remember I watched that back in middle school. I saw how they made the McNuggets. I was disgusted for like 2 years, and then I went back because I was like, screw it. I don't give a shit anymore.
By the way, Lockdown Nathan said, I will give you 2,000 bits if you don't shoot that garbage and have a shot of anything better than that. I've got a rose whiskey. So,
do it.
Go get it.
I will have some of it if you give me 2,000 bits. Lockdown, I am a whore for bits.
I'm a whore for bits.
I believe that.
Oh, story. Like, we're not
okay.
We're not even trying to hide the fact that we want bits of money anymore.
So since we have finished the recap, I want to ensure that we hit this great question from Zena's 8
really,
in chat.
Really quickly, let me hit this then real quick. For those of you out there watching this on YouTube, listening to this on any of your favorite podcast services, whether that is Apple Podcast, whether that is SoundCloud, whether that is Stitcher, whether that is wherever else except Spotify, because Spotify does not want to have us. Sorry about that, people.
We're working on it.
But we do a live stream of the show at twitch.tv/AnaheimCallingSBN. Where you can interact with us live, watch us live, force me to take shots, force JC to eat Chicken McNuggets as we go along, force Felix to drink and get way too drunk and start singing West Virginia as we go along, interact with us, make us laugh, anything like that. If you have Amazon Prime, you get 1 free Twitch Prime subscription, and JC, or CJ, God damn, why are your names so similar? Really? CJ.
Blame our parents.
CJ, point above your head. The subscribe button, other hand, above your head. There you go. The subscribe button is up there. For those of you watching this on Twitch, you can hit the subscribe button.
What's it?
You can,
po-
you
I just saw the replay on his computer and he points at his own fucking head.
You can hit the subscribe button.
Click on my head to subscribe.
You can hit the subscribe button. If you have Amazon Prime, you guys suck for screwing me up on this. This is your fault. If you have Amazon Prime, you get Twitch Prime. You can hit the subscribe button with where CJ was pointing and he is not anymore. CJ, point back there. Please point back there. If you hit that subscribe button up there, it helps us out significantly. And every time you do that, you do have to redo it every 30 months. You become a subscriber.
Every 30 months. Every 30 days.
Every 30 days.
Every
not 30 months.
Months.
Shush. You become a subscriber to this channel. You get special emotes in the chat, special badges next to your name, depending on how long you've been subscribing. Throw the badges in, or throw the emotes into the chat. They're very fun. And start throwing your questions in. We have a couple already. Go for Zenas. I'm going to go get the better alcohol.
Yes. So from Zenas 8 a little bit earlier, had a great question. I don't have it exactly pulled up, but it was something to the effect of what line do we think that Kasha will play on next season? And is there any danger of him being traded this offseason? I'm going to address the second part first.
What was the question?
What line will Kasha play on next year?
I don't know
year?
The first question. The first part of it.
And then is there any danger of him getting traded this offseason? And I would say unequivocally, no. I don't think there's any way you trade Kasha. One, he just, you know, he had a bad year in injury-wise, and I think that Bob Murray is going to want to have him back. He's already seen great things. He's going to want to see him for a little more time on this contract and see him perform. Also, he's on an extremely cheap contract. Anaheim has him for another 2 years at $2.6 million.
Yeah.
And they have him, and he's going to be an RFA at the end of the contract. So I don't know that there's any reason why they wouldn't want to see more from Kasha, give him some more time when he's healthy to see what he brings to the table. And I think it's worth it. I still think that he is at least a perennial 20-goal scorer. I think you can easily get 20 goals and 50 points out of him a season for you know, definitely the rest of this contract and probably another 4 to 5 years after that. So I don't think there's any way he goes.
Yeah, 100%.
Kasha's not going anywhere. We got 2,000 bits. I'm going to drink some of this.
Go for it. 100% agree. I will say, though, that if for any of you who may have been at the Bob Murray Q&A session for the season Take a Holder Breakfast, he did say that no player was untouchable or off limits. But I do tend to agree that, number one, Kasha's on an extremely team-friendly deal. He was on pace to lead the Ducks in goals. He was on pace to score over 40 goals over an 82-game season before he went down with injury and before, you know, considering the time he missed earlier in the year. So unless some team, and given the injury history, his trade value, I think, has definitely gone down a little bit because some people are a little bit weird, and especially with shoulder injuries, he tore his labrum. Those can sometimes be really dicey to recover from. So I don't think anybody would be really willing to blow away Bob Murray with a trade offer, and that's the only way Kasha would ever get considered to be moved. So I'd for like sure smoke. See him next year. I personally see Kasha in a top six role next season. I could definitely see Murray really wanting Kasha to be up on the top line. I know he's had some success up on the top line with Getzlaf. And then some not so much success. I would think that maybe he wants to see a little bit of consistency out of him. But for sure, I see Kasha in a top six role, assuming he can be completely healthy.
Speaking of which, this doesn't have to do with anything. So speaking of which, it doesn't really apply to anything. DieHard24Fan24 also gave us another 2,000 bits. So I have a kind of glass full of whiskey right now, that whiskey rose.
What the fuck is in there?
It has a J. It also has a hockey puck, frozen whatever, whiskey cube.
Okay.
Something that you freeze.
What does the J stand for? Oh, fuck.
Wait.
Was that serious?
Was that...
I was serious for a second. I did not... You mean your name isn't spelled with a G?
I don't know if I can handle this.
Everyone?
I'm at 14 nugs.
My CJ, brain turned off, everybody.
Yeah. A wise man once said, never go full retard.
Oh, God. No.
Please, whatever questions you guys have right now, definitely spam them right now. This is a good time to get questions in. We do have one. Where was Getz tonight? I was traveling. Getzlaf was, and this came out only right before the game, but both Getzloff and Richie were out with upper body injuries. So we had Kiefer Sherwood and Sam Steele both called up, and they both played in place of Richie and Getzloff.
Keep in mind, those were emergency recalls as well, so that obviously doesn't fall underneath, you know, any sort of the call-up rules because of the injuries.
Yes, exactly. Emergency recalls are key. With guys being out of the lineup, they're allowed to be recalled. If you have under 12 forwards, you're allowed to be able to do emergency recalls.
Yep.
Who is going to score the most goals tomorrow? That's Zenas 8 asking
me.
That.
Probably Felix, because I'm actually going to set up Felix for a lot of goals.
If I get to play forward a lot.
Yeah, you're playing defense.
No, we discussed this.
He would prefer to play forward.
You're playing defense.
If there is someone else that wants to play defense, then I'm going to play forward.
You're playing defense.
All right, Randy.
The tank
is in full effect for Team Anaheim Calling.
There's a good question here from we'll get to another question here from D's18, but there's a question that caught my eye here from NJ Devils Fan 68. How important is the game next Friday for the goals to try and get first in the division? So a little bit of a goals update, since obviously the goals are playing some meaningful hockey. I'm going to go through the AHL standings right now. In the Pacific Division, the San Diego Goals are currently in second place with 73 points behind the Bakersfield Condors. So at this point, it kind of seems like
a game in hand too.
Yeah. So Bakersfield's got a game in hand. And for those of you who have been following, Bakersfield has just been unbelievably good lately. Or at least were for a time being in the middle of the season there. Getting first in the division with the season starting to wind down may be a little bit too much to ask for with them being 6 points out. However, San Jose and Colorado are behind them with 71 points. So the San Diego Goals are far from having a locked up playoff position. So at this point, every single game that they have is going to be crucial. Because remember, they don't have Sam Steele was up today. So right now they don't have Steele, they don't have Terry, they don't have Jones, they don't have Larson, Gouley and Magna as well.
Are we sure Magna is gonna get sent down at the end of the season?
I would think he would. Waivers, now here's the thing waivers, with Magna. Waivers. Magna has to pass through waivers, so I would imagine he gets put on waivers, but he very 15. Well could get claimed. So, but all of these people are going to be eligible for the Goals playoff run. So, if the Goals can solidify a spot and get in, they're going to get a whole lot of talent coming in through the playoffs. But they need to get there first, and that's far from secure. So, to answer your question, it's extremely important that they win.
Agreed. We have more questions, though.
Yes, we do. Let's get to one from a newcomer, Deesa18. Question, with Vegas pressing against the cap for next season and William Karlsson as a restricted free agent, could we see a reunion with him replacing Henrik most likely? Would that even be a major upgrade? Also, then we could have a Swedish line of Raquel, Silf, and Wild Bill again.
I have thoughts.
That's a really good question. Go. Give me
your thoughts.
Give your drunk thoughts.
My drunk thoughts?
Yes.
No.
Mm.
My drunk thoughts are no. William Karlsson is way overrated. He's good. Don't get me wrong.
He's going to cost
too He's much. A solid player.
He's going to cost gonna way cost more than he's much. Worth. He is.
He's going to be severely overpaid in this next contract.
He is the exact example of a player that is on a PDO binge.
Mm.
A PDO binge last season. Hit over 40 goals. Still has that type of, what's the word I'm looking for? The kind of reputation of the scorer that he was last year and has not put up the points. Can you look up what his points are this year, just so I can guarantee what it is?
But and Vegas is really up against the cap.
But I kind of sort of doubt that he's a player that you really want to kind of make an example and really go after. But if you're going to go after a player on a team that's cap tight up against the salary cap, a lot of different things, you don't want to go after William Karlsson.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go for a Braden Point. You want to go for a Mitch Marner. You want to go for a Jacob Trouba. You want to go for those types of players. You don't want to go for a William Karlsson.
And to clarify again, good player, but he will be asking for way too much money.
Exactly.
It'll cost way too much to get him. And there's more teams out there that, you know, will pay that and be more than happy to, and I would rather him go there and mess up their cap situation than Anaheim's.
So Carlson is fairly similar to Matt Beleski in 2014-2015. I believe Carlson is a better player than Matt Beleski is. Matt Beleski, to me, was at any point, like, at best, a bottom six player. But he carved out a top six role in his contract year for 2014-2015, that year that the Ducks went to the Western Conference Finals, and he was great. But he shot something like close to 20% that year. Like, he went on a total PDO binge, and he ended up cratering afterwards. And just to go for this season, just so you guys see at all strengths over here, William Carlson currently on the season has 51 total points and 22 goals. Nice kind of middle six, borderline top six numbers, which is good. But compare that to last season, where last season he was at 78 points with 43 goals. He was shooting 23% back then. He's shooting...
bonkers.
Which is unbelievable. Ridiculous.
Anything above 15-16% is insanely insane.
Yeah, and even then, like, only the most elite of players can even maintain usually shooting percentages of that. Like, I believe right now Ovechkin has, like, a career 16% shooting percentage.
And he's the one of the most elite shooters in the history of the game.
Exactly. So, keep in mind, league average shot percentage is a little above 9%. It usually floats between 9 and 10% every year for the most part. This season, he's at 13.84 shooting percentage, so he's still shooting fairly high, but it's definitely come back down to earth a lot, and I think a lot of us predicted that right around the 20, between 20 and 25 goals or so was about where he would go, which is a good player, but that's not going to be a player that's worth $6, $7, $8 million that he may be getting on his next contract.
Agreed, completely. So, we have a question, by the way.
Okay.
A very important question.
Okay.
From Alyssa, 83.
What up?
Ooh, hi, Alyssa.
Who Alyssa has considered both you and me, CJ, to be one of her uncles.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we are both.
Wait, isn't Lewis an uncle, too?
Lewis is the deadbeat uncle.
Stephen James is also an uncle.
JC, would you like to join the AC family and be an uncle?
Dude, I'm the godfather of the AC family.
So, for those of you who don't know... JC is the one who's responsible for bringing both myself and Jake into Anaheim Calling. So JC is responsible for both of us. So he is the godfather.
Yeah.
Lewis says he's the deadbeat uncle. That's actually pretty true.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said.
Coming to my house.
So,
yes. But JC is responsible. We thank him.
On the day my daughter's to be married.
JC is the one who kind of badgered me for a long time to join the Anaheim Calling crew.
About 6 months.
So, for those of you that enjoy me with Anaheim Calling...
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
JC... He didn't have to badger me. I'm the one who reached out to him and was like, please let me write for you. Although, and then I wrote some test articles for the World Cup of Hockey and...
Yeah,
I tricked him into thinking I was a good
writer. I didn't
have
to write anything, test anything.
Once no. Yeah, because I have to edit your articles.
Was,
clearly, you didn't have to.
Jake, my desire to bring Jake on board was almost 100% based on just his Twitter analysis.
Boom. There you go, people. Twitter.
So, he's worth a follow if you don't already. He knows, kind of, I don't know. He sometimes knows what he's talking
thanks.
About.
Oh,
thanks.
Look who just entered the Twitch chat.
Drunk
Yo! Felix.
AMA every time, man.
Drunk Felix is drunk in Bakersfield. Ask him anything.
Felix is going for the world record on AMAs.
Felix ditched us. He could have had some of these chicken nuggets. Instead, he's in Bakersfield. So
the chicken Nick Muggets.
By the way, George had a question for us. Will offsides apply to him tomorrow? Do either of you want to answer that? I think we've established the rules. Offsides.
Does it apply to George?
Offsides do not apply to George.
I feel like that's less up to us than it is up to Chip being cool with it.
Chip has agreed to these rules.
Yeah, if Chip has agreed to the rules for the podcast classic, then George basically gets to park himself in front of the opposing net.
Chad, shoot the puck at his stick.
I'm just going to shoot the puck at his head and bounce it off his big old brown dome.
Big old dome. George, get ready. You ready for some CTE?
There was also a question.
I bet 17, by the way.
There was also a question from Matt that asked, what are the chances of Jake puking tomorrow during the podcast classic? They're not that high. I'll survive. I'll be fine by noon tomorrow.
Are you sure?
Possibly.
Go out and sweat
Make
it out.
Make sure you
baby.
Have your Pedialyte.
I'll have the Pedialyte. Don't All you right, worry. Good. By the time when we're done recording this, actually, probably at the end, I'll go grab that Pedialyte. I'll chug it.
I need to know, wait, what idea did I give George? George said JC gave me the idea. I need to know what idea this is.
Of no offsides, I think.
When?
All right, here we go. From Drew Erickson 8. Drew's a really good friend of the pod. Do you guys see any goals possibly making the team next year? Other than the obvious guys like Jones and Terry.
That's a good question. Goals who are currently on the roster right now?
I don't see any. The wings are really filled up.
The wings are filled up.
I mean, unless you consider Steele. Do you consider Steele a goal? Because he's really, tonight was the first night. Steele would be the only person.
Steele's been up and down on emergency recall, though.
Steele would be the only person I would consider.
Steele would be the only one. And even then, I'm not entirely sure. To me, so here's the thing. In my opinion, Terry and Jones have pretty much earned their spot. Like, they're not going to be handed a spot, but I don't think Bob's going to... I don't think Bob's going to be really evaluating them too hard. I think for the most part, they've earned their spot for next season on the roster. Steele, however, is going to be interesting. Steele has been better in the limited games that he's been up as compared to earlier in the season, but he hasn't been a world beater. And even down in San Diego, he's been pretty good in San Diego and been getting better, but he hasn't been as effective as like Jones and Terry were. So Steele, I think, is really going to depend on how good of a training camp he has. And I think Bob's going to give him an extended look down there, but he's probably the one who's not necessarily guaranteed. Other than that, I really don't see much in the way. Maybe, is Kosola a free agent?
He is an unrestricted free agent due to UFA Group 6.
I could see... Okay, so here's the thing. I think Sherwood gets a spot.
Oh, yeah, I think...
There's not enough spots on the wings.
Well, who are we, Dude, I feel like missing then?
I feel like if you aren't putting...
I know who we got the top nine. I'm talking like fourth line.
Dude, I feel
fourth
like...
Fourth line, we got Rowney for sure.
All right, name your top nine wingers.
My top nine wingers are Getzlaff, Perry...
Getzlaff's not a winger.
Sorry, wingers. I'm going to say then Perry, Kasha, Richie, Terry Jones.
Raquel,
Silverberg.
Was that nine?
That was six.
That was six. Wait, was
wingers.
That? Six wingers. So you have six two wingers. More wingers. So you're
God,
missing...
I got to eat nugs and do math.
So Sherwood could for sure get on there.
So
I think you're fucking
up. You're missing on Sprong.
I'm missing on Sprong. God, yeah.
You're missing on Sprong. You're missing on Shore.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. You're right.
That's the point. There's a lot of wingers.
There really are.
Dude, I feel like if you have Keeper Sherwood playing in San Diego, though, you are wasting him.
Which is another reason I totally see another... Okay, so I can totally see a move then for one of the wingers. One of the trades happening before the draft or leaning into the draft. The Ducks are pretty overloaded on wingers right now, and the centers are the one where they're a little bit on the weak side.
All right, so let's go to this question that was a little bit higher up, and I'm trying to find it right now. Sorry about this. Finding it really quickly.
Good questions, everybody. Thank you.
From Hardcore Lucha said, more for the group at Legends. After seeing the fitness level of the AC crew, do you feel better or worse about not having an old man play center? Hardcore Luchador late in the game. Sorry, Sean. asked if we had an open spot. Sadly, all the spots are taken for tomorrow's game. But with how much you've hyped up yourself, we're definitely worse off for not having you.
Yeah.
But next time we'll get you in. But yeah, we're definitely worse off for not having you.
By the way, just to give you a heads up with the podcast classic happening tomorrow. I am planning on organizing another podcast classic, hopefully within the month, maybe by the end of April. So we're going to have another one really quick. It's not going to be this like 9 month or like 6 month, you know, however long it's been since the last one. I want this to become a little bit more of a regular thing. And I don't have a full-time job right now. If any of you are hiring for full-time marketing jobs, hit me up. But I've got some time, so I might as well organize another game.
Yes.
So keep an eye out for that. We're going to open that up.
Yes.
We're going to open that up to a little more listeners than we have in the past. So keep an eye out for that and prepare yourself.
Like the trophy states, it's the annual, possibly monthly, who knows, podcast classic.
That's just because we're afraid of commitment.
I mean, it's that plus also we may do more. Come yeah. on. It's not exactly annually. It's not exactly monthly. It's kind of in between.
It's when we can do it.
When we hit the off season, it's more likely. I mean, granted, I did get married. We were going to do more during the season, but it kind of became hard. So who knows? Who knows, people? Yeah. So we had a question that came in from Drew Erickson. Said, if you're moving in winter, by the way, you forgot Comtois also in what you said.
No, I didn't forget Comtois. I've thought of him, but just unless there's enough trades that are made, I just see as good as Comtois was and as offensively of a contributor as he was in the beginning of the season, I think that he starts the season in San Diego.
So, if you're moving a winger, who are you moving? I have an answer. Bold answer, but an answer.
You have a Nick bold Ritchie. Answer.
Two different answers that are, one's bold, I one's actually, not.
I think it's Richie.
Nick Richie.
I think it's Richie.
God, you guys suck.
Who?
My two answers. You want the bold or the not bold?
Give me the bold. Raquel?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say Raquel. Yes.
Do you want the not bold?
What's the not bold?
Sprung.
Just based on his scratches?
Yeah.
I can
and
see...
usage.
And I like Sprong. The one thing I need to mention is, and of course I tweeted it out after he had a really nice goal about a week ago, that like if Sprong wasn't in the future plans for Anaheim, then Bob Murray was fucking up. But then of course I checked his shooting percentage, and his shooting percentage is pretty high. I think he's hovering around somewhere around 14 or 15%, mm-hmm. which is a little ridiculous. But Sprong is really good, and I think with the way he's played, his value will be fairly high mm-hmm. for someone with his experience. So... God, I think you're crazy if you trade Raquel.
Yeah, So here's the thing.
Like,
Raquel,
it's a bold move, but it's also possibly a stupid move in my
yeah,
opinion.
But
have you heard my reasoning for trading Raquel?
No,
I don't think you have. If you're looking at wingers on the Ducks roster, who has the most value? Who has the most value in a trade?
Oh, yeah, Raquel.
So, if you're trying to get an impact player...
Curl, okay.
Who would you move?
Yes, like you can get the highest value, but you don't necessarily like move a guy just because of his value.
No, I agree.
Because like, yeah, you're getting an impact player back, but you're moving out an impact player. So is that like a net? Is that a net positive or what?
It's you got to look at it as if you're moving out Raquel plus possibly something to get.
Something better.
Something better.
So here's an interesting exercise, and
Pedialyte, everyone.
Here, you want to give me some of that Pedialyte?
Do I think? No, just to be clear, now, no, I do not think Sprong is better than Raquel. I think he's a good bottom six winger who has pretty good scoring touch, but he's not better than Raquel.
So there was an interesting thought exercise that one of our old writers, Benny, had us do. And he asked us, who would you rather have at this point in time? Rickard Raquel or William Nylander? And I looked back at the numbers, and this was before Nylander signed. This was when Nylander was still holding out with Toronto, and all the trade rumors were swirling. And I looked at their numbers, and Nylander and Raquel's numbers, Raquel has had about like three more seasons, like two or three more seasons worth of games than Nylander. But their numbers were almost exactly the same. However, Nylander's like 3 years younger than Raquel.
Yeah, my knee jerk would be I would want Nylander.
So that's the thing. Toronto would never do Raquel for Nylander straight up. Like, I'm not saying that. Like, here's the thing. Like, that contract, that whole negotiation shows just how much Kyle Dubas, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, does value William Nylander.
Maple Leafs need to move money out.
But they need to move money out. And even with Nylander's contract... he's still a very movable piece for them, and so we could see him more on the block. So could the Ducks potentially package Raquel with somebody else to get him? Because Raquel is making less money than Nylander is.
Bonnie's going to hate you.
She is. Now, I'm of the opinion that the Ducks should not move Raquel unless they get an absolutely world-beater offer. But keep in mind, Murray did say that nobody is untouchable.
Yeah, if I'm moving Raquel... and maybe a prospect, and especially
or a pick, like a high pick.
Or a high pick for Nylander, I'm probably taking that every day of the week.
Yeah, keep in mind, though, too.
Because that ceiling is so high.
Wait, let me throw this straight out for you. Raquel,
plus the late first rounder that the Ducks have this year.
That was what I was going to say. Remember, we got the first round, the late first rounder from Monty Nylander.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
you do, I would do that trade instantly.
Every day.
Would the Maple Leafs do that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but it's close.
I think they would because of the contract.
Yeah, but I do... Do they... Like, because CJ can say, right, that you can look at the numbers and see that their numbers are fairly similar. But then, obviously, you have to look at the fact that there's the age difference and the experience difference. And if I'm looking at Nylander and Raquel, like, yeah, you get that late first-round pick. But CJ talks about it all the time where those top five picks are huge, right? But there's that huge drop-off after those first five picks. And then there doesn't seem to be a ton of difference between pick six and pick 30 in the first round. So if I'm Toronto and I'm looking at William Nylander, you know, did all that work to sign him. He has got a ton of chemistry. While it hasn't been necessarily working this season, you can obviously chalk that up to lengthy contract negotiations and him getting a late start. If I'm looking at William Nylander versus Raquel in a pick, like, I probably want more. Like, as a Ducks fan, I feel great about that because I think that is an extremely big win for Anaheim, but I don't know if Toronto would do that.
I just want to say how ironic it would be. Well, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but how funny it would be if Raquel somehow ended up in Toronto, considering the fact that the Raquel pick was one of the
Lockdown late night,
we're
talking about William Nylander.
Considering the fact that Raquel was picked with a Toronto trade pick.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think that'd be kind of funny in full circle type situation, but that's beside the point.
All right. So, I think that's kind of going to be it for questions. I don't know if you guys see anything else in the Twitch chat, but I saw a mention of the podcast classic.
Boom.
That is tomorrow. Well, technically today. It is 12:06. As of recording right now, it is 12:06. The podcast classic is in less than 12 hours, people.
It's getting really weird.
It is very, very much getting weird.
This is what happens, AC pod after dark.
So it is at noon tomorrow at Lakewood Ice. I don't have the address handy. Look up Lakewood Ice.
You all have phones. You have Google Maps. You have Apple Maps. Use it.
You will find it. You can find all three of us playing, along with Felix, if he somehow makes it there. It's possibly a question mark if he's still watching this.
You can see me playing on ice in my roller pants.
That is a very good point.
It's sexy.
It's very entertaining to watch. You can see Chad be the definite best player on our team.
Yeah.
Quack City.
Yeah.
Chad's our ringer.
So it's going to be a really good time at Lakewood Ice. Podcast Classic, we're taking on Team Totally Offsides. We have special plans in place to how to stop goals. Very, very special plans.
We do.
For people that were at the Patreon podcast or Patreon watch party. Maybe. Should we bring it out right now?
Let's bring it out. Let's show people on the podcast.
Right.
Here.
Let's all right. Get
it. I'm gonna stay here and stay
you
comfy.
Get the glory shot of JC right there.
So
man spreading.
For those of you,
yeah,
JC,
man
go.
Spreading.
JC go. JC, keep entertaining the people.
Just enjoy my beautiful face, ladies and gentlemen. I'm at 24 nuggets. They kept pace with me for a while, but I was in it for the long haul. I'm at least going to hit 30.
We appreciate his, it's upside down. We have these beautiful banners made.
There's one.
So the Anaheim Calling Podcast.
Drop it.
You see right there. And the General SB Nation Anaheim Calling logo. Mm. Our plan for these right now is to drape this in front of Jake Robles.
Behind
Jake Robles, drape it over the goal so they can't shoot. Just a massive black and the Anaheim Calling logo to combat Totally Offsides. It's gonna be great.
Shooter.
It's the shooter tutor. Yeah, for those of you who played hockey, you'd see the shooter tutor, the kind of mask that only shows you the top corners, the underneath the glove, and the five hole. That's
glory
gonna be
shot
our shooter tutor
of the Podfather. The Podfather. I am
Podfather.
All about that. Zenes, I love you.
Oh, perfect. But it's going to be great tomorrow. So, like I said, game starts at noon sharp. Team Totally Offsides versus Team Anaheim Calling. It is going to be fantastic. Lakewood Ice, Rink B for those of you who are looking for it. Come cheer us on. It's going to be a great time, and we would really appreciate your support.
Yep. So, for those of you, let's start wrapping this thing up. I'm taking a quick look. For those of you that want to be able to support the show other than on Twitch, we have a YouTube channel. If you want to search Anaheim Calling SB Nation on YouTube, you can find us. Please subscribe to the channel. Like, if you want to comment on the channel, I'll be seeing it as we go along. And I can reply to any comment that I see on there. And that is very helpful. If you also want to help out the show, you can do it by subscribing and rating us at Apple Podcasts. We have not gotten another review. But if you like the show, give us a review at Apple Podcasts. Mm. 5 stars.
We read reviews live as we go.
Mm-hmm. Did you miss like the rap and the haiku like lyrics that we got earlier this
season? Yeah, I missed that. I was around for the Henrique's hot one or whatever that was.
You are mentioned in some of these reviews that go way back, but there's like one or two.
They're way back. Yeah.
They're way, way back. So,
we didn't shout it out as much.
So, Clear. So, if you want to help out the show, please give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That's one way. Obviously, as always, YouTube is another way. Twitch is another way. And then the fourth way, is at patreon.com/acpod. If you want to support the show and actually get added benefits, at the $5 a month tier, you get 2 bonus episodes a month. You also get, at the $1 or $5 tier, however much you want, you get access to the Discord chat, which is a very good time. You get access to all of the watch parties, all that stuff. The $5 a month tier is when you get the bonus episodes from me and Felix, where we do deep dives into different topics here and there. We will have another one coming out next week for our second one of the month. And yeah, it's a really good time. So I think that's kind of all the plugs. If you want to read my writing, go to AnaheimCalling.com. You can find me on Twitter at ReindeerGames91. What about you guys?
I'll go. You can find me on Twitter at CJ Woodling. You can find my articles as well. I've got a couple of kind of some feature analysis pieces coming up. I am planning on writing a piece about Jakob Silfverberg and his successes. Jake, what the hell are you doing?
Nothing.
How dare you? I'm planning on writing a piece. As a lot of you know, I've been very much like with Jake on the bandwagon of trading Jakob Silfverberg. I still kind of stand by that statement that the Ducks should have traded him, but you really can't deny just how good he's been. So I plan on writing kind of a detailed breakdown of kind of what he's looked like since that. But you can find me on there. JC, what about you?
For Twitter, I'm at Caster Yeso. That's Caster, C-A-S-T-E-R, and then Yeso is Y-4-S-O. I'm the same on Twitch, twitch.tv/CasterYeso. That's about it. I cast a lot.
We have one question that came in that I forgot.
Sit down. Show your pretty face.
All right. That I forgot to get to before I turn off the stream. So this came from Tony Villa, Ken Pafu, who is at our Patreon watch party. He'll be playing tomorrow.
Thanks for coming, Tony.
Non-sarcastic Silverberg question for the pod. Knowing what we know about the Ducks probably trying to dump Kessler and Eves' contracts, we talked about this last podcast with where those contracts are at, but said, you can assume that Bob Murray has had this plan for a while now. Does this change your opinion on the Silverberg contract? Seeing as we probably got him for $1 million plus less than market value. I know you don't think he's a bad player, but without Kess and Eves' contract, do you think the contract was a mistake?
So here's the thing, is that the Eves and Kessler contracts, I don't believe that the Ducks are going to be able to get rid of them. They're going to be on the hook for them somehow, whether that's through buyout or long-term injured reserve. Keep in mind, with long-term injured reserve, all long-term injured reserve does is allow you to spend, basically, the simple way to put it is that it allows you to spend over the cap by the amount of the contract, but you still have to play the payer. Like the organization, the Samuelis, are still cutting a check for that full amount.
Dependent
on insurance. We don't know necessarily the insurance thing, but on some level, they're going to be paying that contract. And as we all know, the Ducks aren't exactly hurting financially, but they're not Toronto. They're not the Rangers. They can't necessarily spend all of that. So that is going to hamper some stuff, some financial flexibility in the future. So if those contracts, to some extent, are still going to be on the books, the Sulfur-Burks contract still does create some issues long-term. Now, remember, the Ducks are going to have to move money out, even if they put Kessler and Eves on long-term injured reserve. In all likelihood, they're probably going to still need to move some money out. So we really need to see what they do kind of headed into the draft and into this offseason. Quiet, you two, or I will turn this podcast around. Oh, Jake is sockless. Gross. Everybody get out. So that's it's really going to come down to the money on that. But I can say that with Sulfurberg not necessarily being played by or being centered by a hobbled Kessler, we still have a small sample size. As great as Sulfurberg has been, we've seen some of this fantastic talent showing what a great player he is. But it's still a small sample size. We don't know if he can really sustain 30-plus goals, hit 50, 60 points. So a lot still remains to be seen. And my mind, I know, hasn't been changed completely yet. I would be remiss to say that, he hasn't been the best player on the Ducks since he signed that contract.
Agreed. Sorry, I was too entertained with looking at my feet.
Clearly. It's fine.
Just to be clear, I hit 30 nugs on pod.
Do you have any more in your system?
What do you mean? Like, can I eat more?
Can you eat more?
I'm going to eat one more.
Can you eat more? You promised to eat as many nugs.
As he could. What if 30? Okay, 31. As he could.
Physically. I'm disappointed if it's only 30.
It's not. It's 31.
I'm disappointed if it's 31. I was expecting at least 50.
Jake, you were a horrible influence on us.
100%. 100%.
Quiet, Chad. Stop.
Chad's like, stop for the love of God. Stop.
Chad's like, I want my defensive partner alive tomorrow.
Alright, I think it's time to wrap this thing up, though. So,
thanks everybody for joining.
Thank you everyone for joining in. Thank you for watching. It's hopefully been fun for you. It's been real fun for us. Felix will be joining me probably for the next game. What is that? On Tuesday, I believe, is the next game. But thank you, everyone. Sorry if this is a little bit muffled with where I'm at. JC will eat more McNuggets off screen. We'll give you some sort of reference.
No promises.
Of where he ended up at. So thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.